Welcome to the Volley Pod, where we're all about coaching kids volleyball. With drills, skills, and scenarios, we keep things fast, fun, and effective. Presented by the Art of Coaching Volleyball, the Volley Pod is your new source for coaching information. Good morning and welcome to the Volley Pod. How are you today, Todd?
Davis, season's over. High school season's ended. I'm trying to kind of come down. You know how it is. Can't wait for it to start. Can't wait for it to end. But then when it ends, you fall off a cliff.
Yes.
Especially when you're up 14-11 in the fifth. You can't close it out. Bad coaching.
No.
Coach hasn't been prepared to close things out. We got to go back in the gym and we got to prepare him to close things out at 14-11.
Isn't that the addiction of coaching though, right?
Oh,
there.
Yeah.
It's the wonderful part and the just brutal part.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And this was a fun group too. This group, yeah. You'll love this story, Davis. They it was a half an hour after our last match, and it's on Tuesday night or whatever. We're in our home gym and we got kids kind of laying in the center circle, not wanting to leave. And I'm the last guy out of the gym. Right. I just said, finally, we're out of here. I got to go get some dinner and get a beer. I got to get out. I can't. And I left them. Laying in the center circle. They're into it. Yeah. So it just kind of reminds you what, you know.
Yes. I always get this postseason sadness.
Yeah. This team was a sweet team. Yeah. So you would have liked it.
That's really cool.
And you know those kids, a bunch of kids. So.
Yeah, and so, it sounds like it could have gone either way.
It's playoffs. Yeah, 14-11, it goes either way.
The best of times, the worst of times.
Yeah, that's it. So you're starting us out with the skill today.
The skill, so here's the setup. Basically, just got the job as the beach coach, the female beach coach for Point Loma High. So I'm really stoked about that. And I've been a beach coach in the past, but now I'm coming back to it. And so the skill for today is transitioning from indoor to beach and beach to indoor. And I have just a few points to go over that I think will be probably more good reminders for everyone.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is any, groundbreaking material, but it's sort of good reminders. And so let's get into it.
Well, no, and I think that it's just cool we're talking about beach because we just have it. It's our first...
Yeah.
It's our first little entry into beach.
Oh, I know.
It's our first time.
Oh, absolutely. So we're having CIF. And for people that don't know, we're having CIF sanctioned beach volleyball.
In San Diego.
In San Diego. Yep. So cool. And
CIF is our high school
governing board.
Yeah, governing body that has taken on beach volleyball in the... What, last year was the first year?
Absolutely, and shout out to Kelly Drobeck because she did a lot with that
passion project, no
question. Absolutely, and I'm stoked because I grew up playing both all the time, and now I get to get my feet back into it, and I'm just amped. So, and the indoor high school season's ending, and I got a bunch of my players on the club team that do both.
Cool, that's fun. Okay, so take get me into it. What are we doing?
So one of the first things that is different... going from indoor to beach is you're going to have to do a more straight up jump. Okay. So that's one of the first things you notice. You do more of like a, almost 2 feet at the same time. It's almost like you're jumping and driving both feet down. If you try to drift in the sand, it's going to be really impossible.
Okay.
So I'm kind of thinking,
is that because of wind? Is that?
I just think you don't get, well, that's, I'm sure that's part of it because the ball's blowing around, but also you push off the sand and you kind of glide through it. I feel like you want to stomp the sand down and make it into a compact surface. When you're going forward, it kind of pushes behind you.
Interesting.
I feel like.
See, that's very interesting because I would have started in a bunch of different places, but I wouldn't have started there at all. I mean, that would have been, it's cool that you started there because this is something that I love it. What else? What else we got?
So the other thing is hand setting is obviously very different.
Okay.
Right. So you see people go out there who've been hand setters indoors and they get called all the time because of spin or whatever, so you got to really slow down the wrist. You can take it a little bit lower, but what I really see is more that wrist action is really much more important, not for the beach players.
Okay.
And so I can actually tell a beach player by how their wrist
so
action
you're getting
operates.
You're getting into skills. So right away, kind of teaching skills, the differences. So you start with the attacking and the approach and then get into setting. Because I didn't know where you were going. Because I thought you were going, could be in a training or whatever. You have one court, you got two on two. How do you, you know, or how many?
Yeah. So I'm kind of thinking if you're a player, that's kind of where I'm thinking.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So the other one is touch. So on indoor, you get to rip a bunch of balls, which is right. One of the things I love. But your soft shots, obviously, will be open-handed a lot of times. You're not going to have the spin shots need as much precision.
Right.
And so you got to get that back when you go back to play beach.
Right.
And that takes a while, right? It takes quite a while.
Right.
So your high line's got to drop right in the corner. And, you know, when I first come back from playing indoor, it's sailing out, you know, good.
Yeah.
You know, shorter court, all that stuff, too. One of the games I like for touch, though, is this game, Simple Game, Four Corners, where you're playing, like, speedball style, and you only get a point if you can hit the ball to one of the four corners of the court.
Okay.
So, obviously, there's in the fiddle, hit deep middle. That's a great shot, too. But for this game, you know, to get the shot, touch back. You
so,
know,
everything is, okay, everything's yeah. going corners.
So, I like that.
Simple.
Yeah, it's fun
yeah,
for the
I
girls.
Like it.
Yeah. And then cardio. I mean, cardio is completely different on beach, if we all know. And I have no cardio, so I'm dying out there. And so that's one of the things that made me notice. But rarely are you hardcore winded after a point indoor. And often on the beach you are.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd say just being able to catch your breath like that, it's going to be painful at the beginning, but that's just a big change that you're going to need to get used to. And the other thing I'd say with that is probably one of the best ways to do it is play a bunch of volleyball, right? Because you play hard,
gets
you
back get your to breath, playing, play yeah. hard. And that's a common refrain we've had here.
Let's play. You know, and then I love the gamesmanship aspect of beach. And sometimes you don't get that as much when you're an indoor player. And by that, I mean, like, I think she's going to do an angle shot right now. You know,
right.
It's like, and I'm going to play her in this way. And you get to make more of those decisions individually, which I love, you know, and taking that over as a player, as opposed to having the coach have ownership
yep.
over that, is a really cool difference. And it's also something that I think players kind of need to sometimes reclaim after being in a six-person team, if
yeah.
you know what I mean. And then they also have to be multifaceted as players, obviously. So, you know, I could never pass. So they'd serve me and I could hit, but I couldn't pass.
Right.
So it's like, you know, if you have a weakness, it'll get picked on, but that's also why you want to do it.
Yep.
And so a lot of times especially I'm thinking middles, you know, they hit quicks, they block, they go out onto the beach and it's rough out there. But, you know, it's so good for them too, right? In terms of
ball control. Yeah, it's right. great. It's great. And I think indoors we pigeonhole
yes.
kids a lot. And
yes.
I think that we find out that, oh, hey, that middle can pass a little bit. What do you know? And
right.
we haven't really put her in passing because we needed middles, you
yes.
know? And they were inexperienced middles that we had to give a bunch of training to.
Yep.
And, you know, the passing for our middles wasn't the fire closest to the house, but it might be next year they could pass
absolutely.
For us, right?
Absolutely. And that's where I got skilled and got a bunch of this stuff that I was not getting indoor and became skilled in passer. I never passed indoors, not a lick, you
right.
know, because I was set a right side.
Right.
But I became, you know, good at it because I did it. You're absolutely right. So, and then just the volleyball intelligence. Now, I know there's volleyball intelligence indoor. It's just different type of volleyball.
No, it's magnified
because
yes. there's so many more opportunities. Because
yes.
you can go, I mean, you can go three or four plays indoors and maybe not touch the ball. You know,
right.
you're a middle.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You don't touch the ball. You can actually swing through three rotations maybe and not touch the ball.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're doing stuff.
Right.
You're transitioning, but you might not touch the ball where, hey, on the beach, every play, you're touching the ball, right?
Absolutely. So that's going from indoor to beach. And I got just four going from beach to indoor,
okay.
which no one's really doing right now. But they will be shortly. And I noticed Point Loma's got a bunch of great beach players. And just the area is just packed with good players because of 692 and some
okay,
of the training
yeah.
they've done now. But we also see them playing beach while they're playing indoor a little bit. And so some of those things that have stood out are basically, you know, you got to hit really, really hard indoor,
right?
You cannot do a bunch of roll shots and blast, right?
Yeah, so yeah.
You got to bring it, right? So that's one thing. There's also a much bigger emphasis on blocking indoor if you're going to be a front row player. You can play full tournaments on beach and not block, especially as a female player.
Hey, I was coaching on the AVP, you know, I don't know what it was, you know, 15 years ago or whatever, when the sisters who were at SC.
Katie and Tracy Lindquist.
Right?
Yes.
And we were playing against them. I was coaching women, and they didn't block.
Yeah, absolutely, right? Yeah.
And they were getting, you know, top, they were in the AVP, they were in the top, you know, they were top 10, they were getting like thirds, and they were winning a lot of tournaments, but they were getting like thirds and fifths.
Absolutely.
They were doing better than the teams I was coaching. So I was trying to tell the players I was coaching, wait a minute, can we be a little more, you know,
tactical
on when we're going to block? I mean, look at this team, they're just sitting back there and digging balls and not blocking and making you guys make some errors and putting pressure on you and not dropping, they're just sitting back there and reading and defending.
Absolutely. And shout out to Katie Lindquist, because that's actually who probably got me down here, because that was my girlfriend coming to San Diego.
Okay, we're going old school.
We're going old school
girlfriends.
Man, I know. This was back in the day when I was
so you're manager. Responsible for her not blocking. So you're taking that. Well, I told her, quit blocking.
Well, and the other thing about Katie, and Tracy was excellent too, but Tracy would hit more, but Katie was just cutty, and you'd have to be standing at the net to dig your cutty. And so I guess I learned a couple things there. I mean, you don't have to block, and you have to have one really great shot, and a lot of good stuff happens, you know, so play great defense. So anyways, indoor also, tooling and just engagement with the block as far as attacking versus the block is more pronounced and more, you know, immediately important. You do get tools on the beach, but they're not like intentional tools, and you're not on the sideline as much, so you don't get that sort of edge tool that you see as commonly, you know.
See, I was kind of into the tools on the beach. I thought it was maybe something that was undertaught.
So. I agree that it is undertaught, you know, for sure. And then the other thing I would say on indoor that's big if you're transitioning is joint prep, right? Because you are going to... your joints are going to feel it compared to the beach, for sure.
Okay.
Compared to just your muscles on the beach, you know, you're landing on soft sand, you know, your joints will feel it, and it's going to be a different type of recovery. And I there's people that can explain the type of recovery better than I can, but I just know that...
Yeah, it's not in my
wheelhouse. But I just know you can feel it on your knees and hips and back differently a lot. So anyways, that's the skill. I'd love to hear from what everyone else had to say. I play both, and I'm actually of the viewpoint that you can play both at the same time and not really be too offset by it, but it takes a lot of doing that.
Well, I think there is a, you know, I don't know if there's a bias of indoor coaches like, oh, beach is screwing up my players or whatever. I don't know if beach coaches, because I haven't really been with the age group coaching beach, but you hear that. And my feeling is like, hey, the positives are going to outweigh the negatives.
Absolutely.
Kids, all the reading opportunities you get on the beach, it's just, you're playing more volleyball. It's good for you.
Yes,
you
know? Yes.
And it's, if you have the love for it, the passion of going out on the beach and getting all those reps and getting all the serving and passing, it's like, hey, I don't know, have I ever had a season that I finished and thinking that we got enough serving and passing reps?
Right, that's a great point.
So it's like, wait a minute, they're getting out on the beach and they're playing all the time and getting all these reps and getting all these reading opportunities and getting all these opportunities to get aligned and being able to hit, and the ball's blowing around in the wind and it's way tougher. I mean, it's got to be good for you. I mean,
I think
the differences there are differences, and I, you know, I'm sure coaches who are more knowledgeable than I can point those out, but my feeling is, hey, play volleyball.
Absolutely. And the other thing I would really love to point out is the culture sucked me in. The beach volleyball culture is so fun. I mean, you just play.
You're slapping hands with your opponents and stuff.
There's some cute girls out there. It's just all sorts of good stuff, you know. And or when I don't know. It's a win-win. Yeah. I think so. Anyways, so that's the
that's
skill.
A good one.
Really
that's
cool
a skill
one. Sort of out of
balancing.
Our box a little bit.
Okay.
But,
yeah.
Yeah. So what's our scenario for
our
the
scenario
week?
Today is end of my high school season. We're in the playoffs and we had a bunch of tough matches in the league that were, you know, down to the wire, mm-hmm. where we're playing teams that are, you know, the matches are close and it's obvious that, you know, you look at every edge you can get. And one of the things we all look at, of course, is the refereeing. And so our scenario today is the reffing is inexperienced or below average.
Okay.
I'm trying to be... Okay. Thoughtful,
yes.
You know, as far as describing, because number one, I think, you know, we need to be empathetic. It's tough to be a ref.
Absolutely.
And they don't have enough refs. So a bunch of these refs are getting put into situations where they haven't really been trained. And mm-hmm. hey, I'm an experienced coach. I've been doing this for a long time. And so if I'm a ref and I haven't been doing it too long and I get matches with experienced coaches that are going at it, it's not easy.
Absolutely.
So I think, but I think it's something we can talk about. So I have a bunch of things to do. Number one, okay. Don't be surprised.
Right.
Hey, it's not, wait a minute. They're looking for refs. They can't find enough. You're going to get inexperienced refs. You're going to get refs that are going to be below average because they haven't done it a lot.
Right.
And the fact that you go, oh, I can't believe how bad my ref. Well, no, I believe how
it.
Bad. No, I mean, and it's not their fault.
No, absolutely.
But we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be like, oh, I can't believe it.
Right.
No, we should
absolutely.
Believe it.
Yes. That's a good point.
And then because of that, you have a plan for both you and your team. And you go, wait a minute. Okay, this is going to happen. It's part of what we have to prepare for. I'm a coach. I got to prepare my team and prepare myself for this situation. Secondly, pay attention. Refs have patterns. So I can look at refs that are reffing tournaments or something, and maybe we have them or we've had them through the years, and they have certain patterns. And so can
that's
I stay
point.
Away from maybe a disagreement with a ref? Because I know this ref's pattern. And I tell my team, listen, there's a ref in San Diego, and she loves calling overlaps. And she'll call them when they're super tight. Maybe she's right, maybe she's wrong. And I'm not looking at every overlap.
Right.
But I tell my team before, listen, this is the ref we have. You have to be super anal about your overlaps. Don't
right.
cheat at all.
Right.
Ever. She's not going to warn me. She's just going to call it the first time it happens. And I get irate because I'm going, why are you stopping the game for some? But hey.
Every ref has their little
we
thing.
Can,
yeah.
We can avoid it if my team just knows that ahead of time.
That's a good point.
Do it. So can I put myself in a position where I don't have to be, and hey, if a ref is tight calling sets or is loose calling sets and we know that, hey, I'm telling my team that.
Right.
Hey, they're going to call it. You know, if you get a super high pass that's spinning a bunch, if it comes out with any kind of action on it, they're going to call it.
Right.
So probably it's the ball you bump set with this ref.
Right.
And other refs, right. hey, they're letting it go. You could get your hands on it and jack it out there.
Right.
So okay. I think helping your players do that, and does it get you out of those situations because you already expect it.
Right.
You expect those things, whatever those things are. And that means, hey, we're going to practice with bad reffing. So I'll be a ref and I'll say, oh, okay, I'm going to call balls in that are out. I'm going to call, you know, nets. I could do whatever. And, you know, the team's going, that was, well, yeah, get in the huddle.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Get in the huddle. We're practicing bad calls.
Okay.
I'm a bad ref.
Now you tell them beforehand that you're going to be like that.
No.
Okay, good, because I don't either. I was wondering. Sometimes I'll tell them, and sometimes I won't.
And I think when they go crazy, I'll tell them, listen,
right.
is this going to happen in a game? We're trying to get ready to play and right. compete, and you guys have to know how to get in a next point focus.
Yep.
And if I'm asking them to get in a next point focus,
yep.
then I have to too.
Yep.
So if there are things that I'm doing with a ref where I'm expressing some kind of displeasure or something, it has to end with that. And I got to turn it off right after that point's over. I can't be moping around the side like, oh, that was a critical point three points ago.
Yes.
And you see coaches kind of carrying
time.
That along.
Yes.
And I can get a little bit aggravated, let's say that. He's laughing. He's seen that. But I think I do a pretty good job of turning
absolutely.
It off and going, hey, it's over.
Yes.
It's done. Here we go. So... the practicing and knowing that. Get refs' names at the meeting and use their names.
Okay.
So I always do that. I write them on my little game sheet on my notebook. Okay, we have, you know, George and Sally today. And so, you know, I'll say, hey, Sally, you know, whatever. Like so okay. I'm calling them by name. It's rather than, hey, ref, you know, it's like, hey, Sally. So,
I like that. Okay.
Cool. I always get their names and I use them. Next one. If you can be a stoic, do it. There's some coaches who can just sit there and not say a word, and all the power to them.
Right.
I'm not one of those coaches. And if I could be, that would be wonderful. But I think we have to acknowledge that if you can do that and that's your style, I think that's great.
Yeah.
That's not my style. But if I can't be like that, then I have to be strategic. I can't be stupid and wild.
Right. Right.
And so when I look at strategically my goal, I'm not necessarily into reversing calls.
Yes.
So if somebody's doing something and they make a call and I'm going, wait a minute, did you see the foot on the approach on the 10-foot line?
Right.
And the ref's all, yep, I'm looking at it. I'm all, okay.
Because right.
I'm not necessarily looking for them to say I made a mistake there, but I just want to make sure they don't make that mistake again.
That's a great point.
And so I'm identifying an error so it doesn't happen again.
Right.
If I think there's an error made. And I'll tell them, you know, what the thing that I love about the refs is the ones that talk to me and go, yeah, that was it might have been an error. I'm like, okay, great.
Right.
So you know you might make an error, so you're going to be a little more focused on it next time. I go, hey, my team makes all kinds of errors. I've made all kinds of coaching errors. If my team was perfect, I could expect you to be perfect.
Right.
But they're not. We're making all kinds of errors.
Yeah.
All set. You make an error or two, your errors are going to happen. I'm not surprised. I think the only thing I want as a coach is if I point something out, I don't want it to happen again. I want my team to have a shot that, wait a minute, I'm doing my best to help that ref go, wait a minute, I saw my error, I'm not going to make it again.
Right, and I think I'll just jump in real quick. One of the things that annoys me to no end is when a ref just won't even acknowledge you there.
And that's more and more common, because
yes.
I think they're teaching refs that, and that's why I have, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, really.
Yeah,
but
because
I'm right with you.
We're not trying to attack refs. I think the point you're trying to make is that when you can have a little bit of dialogue, it makes you understand what they're thinking, and then you can understand what's going on in the match a little bit. Yeah. So
exactly. Cool. Yeah. Next one: teach your captain how to approach and respectfully speak to the ref.
That's good.
Okay.
Really good.
Because I think that's part of what we need to do too. Because really now, if the ref isn't going to allow me to communicate at all, it's really the rules say captain, so the captain has to know how to do that and get comfortable doing it. And maybe practice it. If you are one of those people, and I'm one of them, that vocal on bad calls. So if there's a four hit that I see, and I see a boom, boom, and then two hits after, I'm yelling 4-4.
Right.
And I'm just, that's who I am.
Right.
And
yes.
It's just natural to do it. But if I do that, my feeling is when they make, so, and they'll call it, and I'll go, oh, good call. When they make other good calls, then I try to acknowledge it. So if they call a touch, and my player touches it, and I go, hey, you know, Kate, did you touch that? So, yeah. And I'm like, hey, ref, good call.
Right.
And usually I haven't had too many refs tell me, I don't listen to refs or to coaches talking to me when I'm telling them they made a good call.
Right.
They only say it when I, but I think there needs to be a balance. If they do something that's right, it's a close one, that you acknowledge that, not just expect it. Oh, well that, and then, hey, that's a good call, ref.
That was a tough
play. So try to be, you know.
You know what I did see in one of your matches though, was where you called a touch on your own team and they're like, no. You know, we're gonna go with our call.
No, we called one in our state match too. So
okay. Well,
that's another scenario.
That's another topic.
But we want that'll be a good one to get into because I have all kinds of feelings on that one. Next one: if you're out of line, apologize. And there are times when I'm out of line, and there are times when I'll go, "Hey, between games or something. Hey, I don't want you know. I'm trying to drop it after the play, but the ref might not be dropping. They might think, "Hey, that coach is psycho."
Right.
And it's important for them to know that, hey, I forgot about that. You know, I'm going next point. And whether between games, if I think they're holding on to it and they think that I'm going, hey, here we go. It's, hey, I apologize. I shouldn't have got on you for that or whatever. It's a judgment call and you made a judgment. Whatever. I have no problem apologizing. No problem. It's not about my ego.
Right.
And then lastly, thank the refs at the end of the match, no matter what. Right. It might be horrible, it might be great, it might whatever. Hey, yeah. Thank you, appreciate you coming out here so we can play.
I love it.
So how, what else do you have for us?
Well, I think the other thing I would add is if they're bad or inexperienced or below average, I should say, it'll probably over the course of time balance out, typically. Yeah.
Well, and you could say that for anything you say with the ref. And that's why if you're a stoic, right. You can be a stoic and go, hey, it's all going to balance out. That's fine.
Right.
But sometimes it might not balance
doesn't
out
feel like it
in time out. Because right. Over a big time it might. But if, you know, if there's two sets that aren't close and then there's one set that's super close, there might be two or three calls at the end of just because that happens. And right. One of those swing points can be big and, yes. And you're not going to have time.
Right. No, absolutely. Yes. And I mean, the other thing that I heard from a great coach who was a mentor to me, Woody Teatafa.
Yeah.
He said the ref needs to feel that you're there. Just working for your team, right? If they right. don't feel that, they're not going to necessarily, like you said, notice things closely or, you know, give you consideration for
right.
stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think so, that's the same thing where, hey, if they make an error, I don't want them to make it again.
But I also think, like, going back to really quick to your point, I have many thoughts on this, but because there are coaches that are out of line so often, refs are having to turn that line, make that line much more firm, and they don't let us old guys talk to them as much.
Yeah, yeah. I understand it.
I get it.
It's not easy. Yeah. And once again, yeah. I think we'll end with some empathy for the refs.
The refs are great.
It's not an easy job.
And over the longer I've coached, the nicer I've been to refs.
Yeah.
It's because they do hard job yeah. for not a lot of...
We had the one the other night in our state match, and parents on both sides were just in their ear on every call. Tough.
It is. Yeah. It absolutely is. So, right on. Well, that's a great scenario.
All right.
Awesome. So, we're on to the videos.
Videos. Okay. There's a bunch of great beach stuff on the AOC. Did you get into some of that?
Also, I didn't exactly go into just beach, per se, but I did go into
but
some of the
cool
videos.
But there's so much beach
videos.
Stuff on there.
There absolutely is great beach stuff on there, for sure, and people check it out. But what I did is I put Adam Johnson's Beach Helps Indoor Helps Beach video.
Oh, okay.
Adam Johnson, AJ. Awesome. Yeah, awesome beach player.
He was okay.
Yeah, oh, yes. And then another okay player, just kidding, Holly McPeak.
Okay.
Her video on the differences and training the differences. And this is actually where you really get into some of the specifics. And I really love this video. It's an excellent video on, you know, where do we pass, where do we
right.
set, all this great stuff. And even dealing with some of the conditions of wind and stuff like that. And then the third resource, I guess, if you will, is a podcast. So this is not a video, but this is a podcast that I created called the Volley Nerd Podcast. And we did a volley pod on there with Justin Marshall, who is the head coach of beach and the assistant for indoor at Park University.
Okay.
And
you guys got into it.
We got into the beach and indoor comparison.
So you spent the whole pod getting into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
So it's a good hour pod, something like that we talk all about those comparisons. And so I hope people would appreciate that. So
nice.
I think that'd be a cool one. So,
all right. A shameless plug for
shameless
you. Because I do them all the time for AOC and my stuff.
Absolutely.
And now you get one in. I
absolutely.
Love it.
And
I love
all those links will be in the show notes for
sweet.
Sure.
Sweet. Speaking of links in the show notes.
Yeah. So what's
we have a resource.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny. I've used a bunch of different apps through the years for skill filming and showing players.
Okay.
And the recent one is because we have Huddle. We were using Huddle Technique.
Okay.
And that is actually no longer.
Right.
And a bunch of them have kind of gone out of
Coach's
business.
Eye went out.
Coach's
yeah.
Eye went out because yeah. that became the Huddle. And then Huddle went out. Okay. And the one I ended up with this year is called On Form.
Okay.
And it's cool. Really good.
Okay. I got to do check
but
this out.
But it's expensive.
Okay.
And because we used to get them for free, basically.
Right.
Or
oh, yeah.
like $5.
Yeah.
And this is subscription.
Okay.
It's like $30 a month. $29 a month, but it's still $1 a day,
right.
But it's really good.
Okay.
It allows you to store them, send them to kids, email them to kids, mark them. It has the wheel for the slow-mo that I like,
okay,
where you
yeah.
can do that. And oh, so, yeah. On Form is the name of it, video skill teaching app, and you can use it for It's just, it's, you know, I got it for, I don't know if I'm going to get it like now that I'm out of my season, but for my 3 months spending the $60,
oh, yeah.
I definitely got my money's worth.
Yeah, and I like that. You're absolutely right. There hasn't been great stuff for individual technique.
Right.
Right. And I love that slow-mo feature. So that's really cool. So I got to get on that
yep.
one because I haven't been doing that. So right on. Well, what a cool episode. I mean, we kind of went a little different, I feel like, than some of our other episodes. But
Beach one was different. It's like, yeah. Hey, you're teaching kids the different stuff. That's good teaching. That one threw me. I was like, oh, Davis is coming. He's got this creative mind. It's very cool.
It's a little out
cool
there.
To see it. I loved it. And then, speaking of shameless plugs,
yes,
I'm gonna do a shameless plug for our December 3rd.
Oh, yes.
Because that's coming up.
That's cool.
Our December 3rd video virtual clinic.
Yep.
It's coming up. And I got to start doing my homework because I got to really get in there and start getting questions set up because I'm moderating that. So time for me to
get
to it. My season's over. I have no excuse now. I'm not watching video and, you know, buried into my house watching, you know, trying to find who we're playing and looking up video. Those days are over.
Absolutely. Well, it was a good run. It was a good run.
Oh, it was fun.
It was
fun. And fun pod today.
Fun pod today.
I loved it.
We also talked about, you know, dealing with refs that are inexperienced or perhaps below average. And then we talked about the resource, which was wonderful.
You know, and we had some videos, normal, and then the volley nerd, we got to throw that in, and then we had On Form.
Yes, On Form. Check it out. So a lot of great stuff, and we'll see you next week.
Great, Davis. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.